We see a general increase in positive attitudes towards gender equality. Getting exposed to female role model, boys are like, okay, so this is how it should be.
Welcome to Vox Dev Talks. My name is Tim Phillips. In parts of the world where girls and boys expect different lives just because of their sex, how do we influence the assumptions about the roles of men and women that kids pick up at an early age? You might remember recently on Vox Dev Talks, I spoke to Seema Jayachandran about how classroom discussions had helped shift gender attitudes in India. But what about the influence of role models? In Somalia, another experiment has introduced children to male and female role models, but did this also succeed in changing attitudes? Munshi Suleiman of the BRAC Institute of Governance and Development was one of the researchers, and he joins me now from Kampala. Munshi, welcome to Vox Dev Talks.
Thank you, Tim. I'm excited to talk about our study.
Now, Munshi, I checked it, and believe it or not, this is, as far as I know, the first time we've even mentioned Somalia on Vox Dev Talks. So can you tell me a little bit about the country, socially, economically, specifically about the different opportunities that women might have compared to men?
Right, sure. Well, I'm also not surprised that Somalia is not mentioned as much in research because, you know, generally we take sort of such contexts like really tricky, risky to do really good research. But I guess this is one of the few examples that shows that it's possible. But to your question, I mean, every time I visit Somalia, I get a very mixed feeling. So on the one hand, it's a beautiful country. Yes, it's a desert, but it also has really long coasts. It's probably one of the countries with the longest coasts in Africa. But then you get inside, you can see the poverty of people living in small sort of huts, cramped in small makeshift houses in camps, in the sort of IDP, internally displaced people camps. Mm-hmm. Some interesting facts about the country is unusual among developing countries is it's highly urbanized. So more than half of the population actually lives in these few big towns, high concentration of people. But at the same time, the other half lives in tiny villages, goes miles after miles to find grazing for their livestock, which is primarily the economic activity in the rural areas. In urban areas, very little economic opportunities are there that women can possibly do day labor, etc., primarily for men. It's a hard place.
Typically, who gets educated in Somalia and how long do they spend in school or college?
The access to education is very low, even at the primary level. Okay. And that's true for both boys and girls. There's no much population. There is very little opportunity. It's also very difficult to do education for them because of them moving around. But even in urban areas, in camps, there are schools that are sort of mainly supported by different development agencies. Government is sort of yet to pick up the core services in their systems. I mean, most of the kids you'll see go to Quranic schools in the very early years. That's very common. But when it comes to primary, in the early ages, you can find the gender parity. But as they grow older, they get to grade 4, 5, 6 and onwards towards the end of primary, that is grade 8, you see very few female. And from primary to secondary, oh goodness, that's really hard. There is a sharp drop between primary to secondary in terms of enrollment rates.
So in this intervention, you introduced children at school to male and female role models. How did you find them? How did you select them? And I guess, were female role models quite hard to find?
We basically got students from secondary schools and colleges. Practically or logistically speaking, it wasn't very difficult to find them, even for female. I mean, it's true, there are very few girls in colleges, but we didn't need that many. We needed one girl per school. But I guess the main reason for this sort of simplicity is we didn't want to get role models who are like extremely successful. We wanted the role models that these primary school students can relate to. So we thought college students would be the best. And Save the Children, who implemented this intervention along with their other activities in these primary schools, I have sort of very strong relationship at different stages in the education system. So that also helped a lot to sort of find them.
So you have these role models talking to children in a randomly selected set of schools. What do they talk about? What do they say to the children? And are they just giving a speech or do you have class discussions?
That was also kept relatively simple. So we had a few hours of prep discussions with these college students. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't know. We just got them and getting them to schools. What will they talk about? We prepped them to organize their thoughts about how their life journey has been, what challenges that they have faced at different stages of their primary schools, how they have overcome them, what supports they got for them to get to where they are currently. It was basically them storytelling their own life journey. And then there was a bit of time left for some Q&A where students could ask questions about their lives or ask advice, so those sort of things. But it was kept very short. It was a one class hour that this role model had this discussion or talk.
I see. That is a much shorter intervention than Seema's project in India. You're measuring the effect of one role model discussion in 1 hour in one class.
Exactly. It's a very short, quick and cheap intervention, if you like.
Yes. Okay. And then what are you looking for as an effect? And how long do you wait to find out whether there has been an effect?
So for effects, we were primarily interested to see if we could encourage them to think more seriously about their secondary school, so sort of transition from primary to secondary. So that's where you see a sharp drop in enrollment. College aspiration was our main outcome of interest. But of course, gender, Somalia being one of the countries with high inequality in gender, that was embedded, and that in the design, you know, having a female-male role model was kind of embedded in the study. Attitude towards gender was for secondary outcome for us when we are designing the study.
Okay, so let's take that in order then. So what effect did this have on their aspirations to go to college?
Primary school is up to grade 8, but in these schools where we had this role model intervention, they talked to children from grade 2, 4, and 6. Grade 8, we couldn't select because they were about to sort of leave schools. They had public exam coming up, etc., sort of considering those logistics. What we find is those who are at grade 6, that's where the aspirations changed. Those in grade 4, 2, we don't see much of a change. So it's possibly that this, you know, college is still a far-fetched thing for them a few years before they get there. But it was most encouraging to see that grade 6 students showed a positive increase. It was quite big, actually, in terms of, like, it's a simple question of what is your aspiration in terms of how far you want to study, and if they have said college or above. And we see effects around 15 to 20 percentage points. So that's pretty big.
To be clear, what age is grade 6, grade 8?
So grade 6 would be about 15, 16 years old.
Is there an impact on gender norms, or does this change girls' opinions more than boys, and does this change boys' opinions about girls?
So that's where we had not anticipated results. So we were expecting to see that girls, when they get exposed to girls, their attitude may be changing, not so much for boys. But contrary to that, we see a general increase in positive attitudes towards gender equality, but more so for boys than girls. So getting exposed to female role models, boys are like, okay, so this is how it should be. And going back to aspirations, one point I missed is actually on aspirations, we also see a stronger effect on boys. And that's, again, boys possibly thinking, you know, this is something we are building the narrative based on the results, is if the girls can do it, we should be able to do it too.
Do you know why we get this counterintuitive result? Because it isn't what you would expect, is it?
That's right. We were probably thinking simplistically that the girls see girls as role models, boys see boys as role model. So I think in academic discussion could be that a role model has two mechanisms. One is aspiration, or sort of relating to a role model and motivation based on that. And the second aspect is information. So it's possible that getting exposed to a girl role model gave information to the boys about gender norms and possibility of achieving college education. We can't distinguish systematically from our research, but that's one of our working hypotheses.
And do you know if this impact persists?
That's a really good question, because we looked at the very short-term results. It was 6 months after the role model was done when we saw this change in boys' aspiration and general increase in attitude towards gender equality. So we managed to do a long-term survey about 2 years later, only for those who were in grade six. Now, the answer is a little less straightforward than yes or no. So if we look at the impact sizes and impact estimates, it's actually comparable to our short-term results. For aspiration, it's about 15 percentage points positive effects. Similarly, for gender attitude, it's, you know, about 0.2 standard deviation. But they are not statistically significant. I mean, without going into details of too much of the sort of statistical anomaly, I guess what we can say is there is positive effect that seems to persist, but we are less confident about whether these results are genuine effects or there are some statistical anomaly.
Munshi, if I appointed you as the Minister of Education for Somalia, you'd have a lot on your plate if I did, but what would the impact be, do you think, if you said this has to be done in every school all over Somalia for all kids who go through school?
I think if we can do it at a large scale, I think it can make a huge difference. And first of all, the intervention itself is very low-cost intervention. There are many education programs that can easily incorporate it as one of their components. And, you know, compared to many other investments that are being made on the supply side of constructing schools, etc., this costs nothing. And this addresses the issue of children or the students being at the center. So we are trying to address their incentives. We're trying to work on the demand side, not only on the supply side, which is currently most of the education programs are. And then the short-term, long-term effects, yes, you know, we will possibly do further study to address some of those statistical issues to see if this really persists or not. But the short-term effects themselves, I think, make it worth doing at a larger scale. And then if you do any social norm intervention at large scale, then you can expect a lot of spillover effects that we know from various other social norm programming, you know. So I would say we shouldn't just wait, like, let's see if this is a long-term effect, what the effects are, if you do it at a larger scale or not. I think this should be just incorporated wherever possible.
Good luck with it, Munshi. And as you say, a very low-cost intervention. So thank you very much for talking about it to us.
You're welcome. It was fun talking about it. And thank you again for inviting us.
The paper, if you want to read it, is called Influencing Youth's Aspirations and Gender Attitudes Through Role Models, Evidence from Somali Schools. And the authors are Elijah Kipchumba, Danila Serra, Catherine Porter and Munshi Suleiman. Also, don't forget our previous VoxDev talk on reshaping gender attitudes in India with Seema Jayachandran if you want a comparison for what went on there. This has been a VoxDev Talk. The best way to make sure you don't miss an episode is to subscribe on your podcast platform and our past episodes, as ever, at voxdev.org.